So just a couple of notes while we're stretching. Health Tide, you'll probably notice in the abstract, we were formally named the Wisconsin Obesity Prevention Network. So we just soft launched Health Tide, which took, in a collective impact model, this took
2 years
to get agreement on a name. So just know this is a huge accomplishment for our collective impact initiative we're going to talk about next. We have no disclosures to report as well. So in terms of obesity prevention, wondering if your, first of all, can I ask a question? How many in the audience are familiar with the term collective impact? If you could raise your hand. Okay. Good. So in general, in Wisconsin, we've had a lot of substantial efforts. We've had some CDC funds in our state. We've had the ability to really move a lot of local work. We have over local 60 local coalitions. We've moved some fairly impressive statewide efforts around farm to school and active schools. One thing, though, that we've noted is that we often are not talking to each other. We've found that Community A is not talking to Community B. A statewide partner doing research in the university is doing something at farm to school, and the folks out in the field doing farm to school did not know there was a researcher that existed. And so this sort of fragmented approach really became evident through several formative assessments that we did. We did over 200 one-to-ones talking with partners from different sectors, and it really came down to these two terms: we need a united front. And so in 2011, I see Dr. Alice Ammerman is in the audience. She visited our state and talked to a lot of our community and academic partners and really impressed upon us some of the great work coming out of North Carolina, where there's some really strong partnerships being built between the health departments and academia. And that sort of started the conversation, and then in late 2011, all the collective impact papers came out from FSG, and we started saying, that's what we were thinking. And so from that, we were able to apply for a Wisconsin Partnership Program grant and got a little bit of seed money to begin to implement a model to really address obesity in Wisconsin. So we're working with researchers from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we are have a proposed research model that looks at using collective impact as well as community organizing. So we're using both of those principles to sort of build this movement in Wisconsin. Part of the collective impact literature talks a lot about having a theory of change. So here is our theory of change as I sort of described that incorporates our model. So we believe that really engaging in statewide collective impact, really coordination across agencies and partners, as well as bringing in people with lived experience through community organizing techniques, that those two parallel tracks is going to increase coalition effectiveness, connectedness, resident empowerment, really looking at getting that PSD change that we want, which down the logical line gets us the population behavior change that we need, and improved health outcomes with our overall goal of reducing obesity in Wisconsin. So Health Tide was born in 2012, and we're still at it. For those of you who are into practicing collective impact, it's much harder than those papers lead on. We're actually 3 years in, and we are just formalizing and getting agreement that we can be the backbone. And we've got a lot of conversations underway around the governance of that backbone, which we'll talk about in a minute. So going back to implementing the model, right now, part of the collective impact literature talks about having a backbone. Our backbone mostly is located in the university, which we understand from the folks at FSG and Tamarack Institute, collective impact experts, that that's fairly unique. Because some of the functions of the backbone involve building public will and communications and public policy, we actually have some of the backbone sitting out in a nonprofit partner. So we're essentially kind of walking the lines of a sort of pseudo public-private partnership that supports the backbone for this movement. Right now we have 7 staff, which actually translates to 4.75 FTEs. And you can see the key functions. If you read the collective impact literature, these are the typical functions of the backbone. So these are the functions of what our staff cover: guiding vision and strategy, supporting aligned activities, establishing shared measurement practice, advancing public policy, mobilizing funding, and building public will are the 6 common backbone functions that you see. And so we're busy implementing those and building those functions. One of our first things, part of collective impact, is facilitating a common agenda. We spent over 2 years convening conversations around the state with several multi-sector partners to get agreement on that overarching common agenda, which you see here, which is really getting that PSC change, policy systems environmental change, which gets us obesity prevention. And then, as of late, there's been a lot of conversation about health and wellness being at the forefront versus obesity. So we're really sort of shifting that lens to really say, focus on health and wellness. So that's sort of our overarching common agenda. And since then, we've convened collective impact conversations across 5 settings in our state. And you'll see here, we have early childhood schools, food retail, built environment. We also have started a conversation with our health system partners. So Amy and I are just going to demonstrate sort of one setting. So you're going to kind of see this throughout the rest of our presentation. So the early childhood setting is a really good example of the collective impact model. It's one of our areas where we feel like we're hitting the mark in terms of the conditions of collective impact. So we have that multi-sector engagement. And we used a collective impact process. It took us a year to get agreement on the following priorities. Moving our state child care licensing rules, strengthening them related to nutrition, physical activity, and breastfeeding. And then one major accomplishment of this collective impact work recently was getting strengthening the wellness criteria in our state's quality rating improvement system. So now we have 90 minutes of physical activity, for example. Child care centers are rated on that, and then they get, there's some clapping. Yay! I know, right? It's a huge policy change. And so we're starting to see that this working together business actually works. So as you can see, the other priorities that this group is working very hard on. So we, again, because we're anchored in the university, we have the luxury of research friends. And so we have several academic partners who are helping to evaluate the effectiveness of the backbone, sort of the social network analysis related to us building this network of partners statewide. And so we've been doing we collected a baseline survey in 2013. We recently collected a midpoint. So the data that we're going to present sort of looks at some of those indices. So from the pre to the midpoint, we know that generally speaking, people doing obesity prevention work in Wisconsin are reporting that they need more tools to work on policy. They need more funding. No surprise there, and they need help with surveillance and evaluation. A particular need is local level data came through loud and clear as a high need in our state. In terms of members and how they're engaging with the backbone, we know that over 1,200 members that we're following that are engaging in this work, that almost half have participated in a collective impact convening across those settings that we described, so we're getting people engaged and involved in the conversation. In terms of what the backbone has done in terms of helping organizations doing obesity prevention, we know that when backbone staff, such as Amy and I, are out connecting organizations to each other, that we're starting to see that people are beginning to work together and get grants together, or they're moving policy together, or they're able to be more impactful because they're not duplicating. So that sort of alignment part of collective impact, we're also starting to see is working in Wisconsin. This is just a baseline in 2013, sort of real high level, sort of across who's been doing this work in Wisconsin. And you can see in 2015, the lower slide, sort of what's happening. Our goal is for these sectors to be equal over time. In terms of at baseline, what our partners said was the most important function they needed us to play was supporting aligned activities. People were really complaining about this fragmented approach in Wisconsin, so they're really relying on us as backbone staff to connect them to other people and organizations doing similar things. There's also a high need to mobilize funding, and establishing a shared measurement is super important. And we'll talk about a lesson learned in a minute regarding that. So as we mentioned, we got a lot of participation from folks getting engaged in this collective impact thing. And we had the researchers look at the early childhood setting and sort of where they're at with the 5 conditions of collective impact. And you can see across the board that this group is doing fairly well, or thinks that their group is doing fairly well in terms of implementing the 5 conditions of collective impact within that setting. As I mentioned, we do a ton of one-to-ones. This is a community organizing technique, and so it's really meeting with people, getting to know them, building relationships, understanding where they're coming from, and then it's really a lot about connecting them to other people with similar interests. So we do a ton of that work. We are able to follow up with those connections and find out what happens after we make those strategic alignments. And so you can see sort of some of the data coming in that people are really feeling like it's helping them get better connected to our obesity-related information and resources, others doing this work, helping them with grants, and getting grants as well.
And as you probably can tell, out of this work, we've had a lot of lessons learned and things that we're going to kind of improve on and keep moving forward. One of those things especially is, number one, has been working through turf and territory. So something that we have encountered very early on in our work was kind of this definition of what is your role? What do you actually do? How do you help people versus kind of making those connections versus we're actually implementing something. So really creating those relationships, making those relationships really important, talking to people one-on-one as well as getting connections between other individuals has been really, really effective for us, as well as that continuous communication, which is one of the conditions of collective impact, is really key and is an area that we continuously try to do better in and continuously struggle. It's one of those things that things happen and change and shift and grants come in, and I'm sure a lot of you are aware of this too. It's hard to keep everybody abreast of all of the things that continuously happen, so that's something that we definitely kind of in the next year or 2 years are really going to make that a priority for us. And part of that, we actually have developed a web presence as well, which we haven't had for the past couple years. So that's going to be coming online within this next year, 2016, as well as some more social media presence to really think about how we can connect with kind of the general public on what's going on in the state so that more people can at least know what's going on. They may not be directly engaged, but to get a little bit more knowledge about all of the different things that are happening. Another thing that we really are focusing on is continuing to diversify voices at our kind of our team tables. We had Liz Weaver, who is from Tamarack Institute up in Canada, come down to see us in August of this last year, and she really, I'm going to show you kind of a diagram that she gave us as well to really think about how we can think about having more people come to the table and what that means. We're also really thinking about, so if we want people that have lived experience that just live in the community, how do you get them engaged and kind of what is their spectrum of involvement? You know, do they want to have a meeting in their community and have partners come together and then come up with, you know, four things that for their community is really important to them and bring that forward to kind of a broader state level perspective? So really thinking about how we can get people to plug in. Also implementing priorities and establishing shared metrics. So something else that we've continually kind of struggled with a little bit is that we support the coordination of the work. So we really gather people together, continuously meet with people to try to bring more people into the fold. But we're not the actual implementer. So we're not going to communities ourselves and actually, you know, doing nutrition education or doing local policy, but we're trying to connect people that are doing that work. Another thing is metrics are difficult to establish, so really in our collective impact teams, we're really thinking and talking about what are some metrics that are already collected, how can all different organizations at those tables really think about what metrics are important to them, as well as really using that as a tool to continue to move forward as opposed to an afterthought. And so this is the slide of the four sectors of involvement that Liz Weaver showed us. And so you can see on the left-hand side it says context, and on the right it says content. And that's really key for our work too, because the context is kind of the community voice, how it actually works in the community versus the content, where we have all this great evidence base and all of these different things that have been published and the work that's happening in nonprofit and government work. And then we also have academia that fits into this as well. So that's kind of a sector that we're well aware of, but we're not really sure how it all fits into this piece. But and there is overlap in these sectors as well, but this is kind of a tool that Liz shared with us. So some of our next steps are we're really interested in establishing a leadership council for our work. As Amy mentioned, there's not really a playbook for collective impact. It was kind of a framework that was set up, and then we are just trying to figure out how, kind of wade through what it looks like. And so we're hoping that a leadership council that's really established with a number of partners in our state can really help us think about, are there pieces that, you know, we're not engaging in that we should be engaged in? For example, we have a farm to preschool group that's really becoming more and more engaged, but we haven't necessarily provided a lot of support for that to date. So is that something that we should be providing more support to? So really thinking about how this leadership council can help kind of advise the work that we do, as well as this launching a public communication. So that's what I mentioned earlier, really thinking about our web and social media presence and what that means for the broader community and the kind of the public in our work. So this is also something that we've really thought about, and this is in a very draft form as well. So we are, you know, the backbone staff or kind of the support staff for what we're calling the Health Tide Movement. We've been kind of going along with that turf and territory piece. We didn't want to create another organization. We're really thinking about how we support the work more broadly than that. And then the circles on this diagram are really the kind of collective impact teams that we are really helping to facilitate. So this is our contact information. Amy and myself, Dr. Alex Adams is the principal investigator on our work that's coming out of UW-Madison, as well as Brian Christians, who's also a co-PI in the work as well. So if you have any questions, you feel free to contact us. And then we have a number of other partners that we work with in communities as well as the UW. So I don't know if there's any questions.
Directly from the panel. The question is, can we speak to some of the resistance that we're seeing in terms of being in a collaborative like this, in particular government? I would just say candidly that we've had to really do a ton of role clarity and look for points of strategic alignment. And what we've come to realize is government often is funded through grants with deliverables, and collective impact doesn't work that way. Collective impact is a very organic process where people decide what's most important and work on it, you know, where's the common ground and where we can work on. And so we've done a lot of talking with partners where there is turf and territory to say, you know what, it's great that you're still doing those deliverables and you're working on farm to school over here. It just does not happen to be, you know, where we're putting the movement's energy at this point in time. So it's sort of, that's I guess one strategy. We have several others we can talk offline, but that's been one way that we've had to kind of really do a ton of facilitated discussion around role clarity and a lot of like, it's okay for you to keep doing that. This isn't. And then secondly, getting people to be okay with, you should take credit for this too. So that kind of gets rid of some of that turf.
I know that FSG suggests some ways to approach evaluation of collective impact, but because this is, as you say, such an organic process, do you also use sort of a developmental evaluation approach?
Yes. Yes. In fact, Amy and I, this is no joke, we have a hashtag, fail fast. And we are working, Dr. Hilgendorf on our team is an expert in developmental evaluation. And so we've been, for example, we wrote out the entire, how do you get people to a common agenda? We wrote out that process, and then Amy is evaluating it, Dr. Hilgendorf, and she's helping us, you know, sort of come at it with a developmental evaluation so we can make those tweaks along the way and document why we made a course correction. So, and we've made lots of course corrections in this work. So there's no playbook. We've learned that.
Well, just state that gives them those tools there. It's the issue of having grants that have different outcomes and then really looking towards the collective impact and the convergence. Mm-hmm. Because each of the grants needs to demonstrate what their contribution or what their credit is in order to get funding or satisfy the funders. And it's, what you said is how do people feel comfortable taking credit for things that they think are part of the collective impact. So that whole paradigm shift, that's a challenge.
So the early childhood example, that's where we've really highlighted the group and their sort of recognize them. For example, they got nominated a couple years ago for the Lesma Child Care Award for their collaborative efforts. So sort of pushing them out there to see like, hey, this really is a good thing for us to collaborate. And then sort of there's been several times along the line where each organization maybe was reporting to their board. So they get to report on that collaborative outcome. So I think they're starting, it's sort of like that positive reinforcement where they're like, oh, we actually are doing, making a bigger impact and we can report that to our funders. One other thing on the funder situation, you know, a big part of collective impact is that paradigm shift of funders. And so that's also something in our state we're trying to work on is how can we convene funders and get funders to actually fund the common agenda versus funded, you know, we have this problem in our state, we joke about this, someone's funding a gardening project over here and then a work site wellness project over here and then a healthy food retail. Well, we never get anything scaled up enough to make a difference. So how can we actually just have that conversation and actually collaborate and get like this year we're going to work on this and get all the funding going that way. So those are some of the conversations, that paradigm shift that's going to take a little bit of time in the funders world, but we're starting to see funders talking about this. So.
Thank you so much, and I just want to make sure that I give time for everybody. Just a comment, we're doing a kind of a collaborative in Washington, D.C., and on the funding issue, two things that we found is we have our potential funders at the table, part of our collaboration, so we visit them, we need to know them, and then to what degree do they win from the successes that another funder has. So the other thing is that we have really included in one of our team, our members of our collaboration is here, but the other thing is that we have included the insurance companies because at the end of the day, ours is about improving health, and so their bottom line depends on it or may benefit from it, and so we are really involving those folks to find out what their metrics are for us to get funding from insurance companies, either the part they have to set aside or part of the fees. So I encourage you to bring those people to the table early on in your collaboration. We've got four fantastic presentations. Questions now that have come up to sort of go back to either to Pamela or Ryan or Lena or Amy. Another question? Yes, over there, please. Was in the collaboration sort of looking at the meta-analysis and sort of trying to pull the different pieces together. Pamela, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I mean, you want to talk about from a collective impact? My short answer would be no, but you guys might think something different. I actually think the field is a little bit naked there, and it needs to be built. And how do you get, and speaking now as a funder too, how do you get funders together to agree on the common metrics if we're all heading to the same outcome of whatever, improved obesity or whatever it is, but yet we have different investments. At the end of the day, we all care usually about the same thing, and that's improved population health. Maybe we have a shorter term view of how you get there, but we're not coordinating our metrics yet. And I think that's future work and future funding to get us both grantees and funders together to better develop that and to measure and to invest in resources towards the measurement of and put away our what's the word that someone used more nicely than I will, but put away our agendas of what it is we are funding versus they are funding and at the end of the day, we care about whatever it is, better nutrition or lower obesity rates, whatever is the end game. And even if we have different end games, to your point of telling the government agencies that they can go on with their stuff, usually you can find a common agenda, and maybe you're measuring different parts towards the common agenda, but I think this is work to be done, I guess is my short answer. I don't know if you would agree.
I totally agree with your points, and I would add one thing that, or to build on your statement, and one thing that we're looking into is Dr. Brian Christens from the School of Human Ecology is building us a relational database so that we can track who we're talking to and the connections we're making and the data they might have or the interventions that they're working on, so we can start to sort of see visually sort of what's happening and make those connections. So it's sort of a way to kind of capture some of that information.
If you have another question or comment, please.
Yeah, I'm going with collective impact. It seems like you guys have a tremendous backbone, 7 FTE or whatever number you have, and really being able to bring those resources to be able to support, be the glue or the mortar between the bricks to be able to bring everybody together. And not everybody has that kind of capacity, has such a strong backbone organization. So how did you realize that you needed that much? Are others contributing to that, and other than that one organization where you described a piece of it? And it was really kind of intriguing when you were looking at the balance of effort that people were giving and trying to shrink for some and grow for others.
So the question is, again, to the collective impact part, the question is sort of looking at how did you identify the backbone and how did you sort of leverage the various different people? And do you want to...
So that's a really good question, and I think Amy also mentioned that we have kind of a unique system, because typically Collective Impact is one host organization, typically it's a nonprofit. We're at the UW. We actually have been doing, with a large amount of our partner building, so our Department of Health Services is actually co-funding one of those positions with us. So they're actually providing 50% of the funding for one of our staff, as well as the YMCA is providing in-kind office support and kind of all of the hiring pieces for a couple of our staff are all being provided in-kind from our state YMCA alliance. We also have applied for and received American Heart Association grants, two of them. One was called an Anchor Grant, which I cannot remember what the acronym is, but it's CDC funds that are formerly the Transform Wisconsin funds. So we actually have a person that is working on some of our school's priorities based out of that grant. So all of the work that we did to kind of come to those priorities from the group, we were then able to apply for a grant and have that person actually helps work on those priorities. So, and then we have another grant that helps, also from the American Heart Association, that helps with our active communities group, and they're actually funding part of her position as well. So it's been kind of leading more people towards the, hey, we can all collaborate on these positions, and we've had a lot of interest in, we also had community transformation funds in our state that, you know, of course went away, and there were a number of staff that were kind of ruined a little bit, and so we had a lot of great people that knew the state really well, and so we were able to kind of scoop them up as much as we could, which is really helpful because then they had the background, they knew community members, so we've tried to leverage as much as we can other things that have also happened. So that's a great question.
It looks like by integrating some of the funding and placing the staff outside.
Exactly, yeah.
So I know all of you have stayed through this whole thing, so obviously this panel has been fantastic. So let's thank them for their efforts.